So I know you were telling me yesterday how you're betting every single tournament game.
Every single game. I started with the first four, went 3-1. I didn't think Bryant was going to come out like that, but they should have lost that game, and obviously they did. But I've already put in my bets today for every single one today, so we'll see what happens.
What you got for the first? Because I really just want to talk about the first weekend, going into the Sweet 16 next weekend. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been doing it on a day basis, betting wise. I mean, I have my brackets, but like I've only put in my bets just for today. So like anything from the Michigan game all the way down to the Kansas game tonight at 10, I have my bets in for.
Welcome to episode 94 of the Pickup Podcast. It's your boy Marcus here with guest Chris Denny back in the building, the betting guru. Y'all know him, y'all see him, Mr. Back of my bullshit. Gonna get into the first round of the NCAA tournament and some predictions going for the second round, going to the Sweet 16 for this first weekend of March Madness. So, Sigmas, we'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So the first four already done and in the books. So we got the field of 64 set. The round of 64 is underway right now with Providence and South Dakota State and then Michigan and Colorado State playing right now as we speak. Michigan is doing exactly what I expected them to, which is roll over and belong in the tournament, my opinion. I don't have them picked in any of my like eight brackets that I made. So, I don't know if you feel the same way about them.
Man, it's tough, right? Because you watch them during the season, and I was surprised Michigan even got in as a at large bid. I thought they would at least be in a play-in, so I was surprised to see them just in safely with teams like Notre Dame and Indiana on the play-in games. But I will be honest, in most of my brackets, I did have Michigan winning. I bet on Michigan today, and that's strictly because of the matchup with Colorado State. I know Colorado State's point guard was injured, and Hunter Dickinson should, and he's looked okay, and from what I've watched already in this first half, should have that advantage down low, but it doesn't help when the rest of your team is shooting 25% so far, but another half to play.
I just didn't see any real consistency with the team from day to day. I mean, and Colorado State's one of the better shooting teams in the tournament. They're right now shooting 40% from three. Michigan hasn't single three in the first half. They're down by seven right now. I don't think that it really gets any better for Michigan. I had no real hopes for them. I didn't think they belonged. Like you said, Indiana was a much hotter team coming into the tournament, and Indiana ended up in a first four game. Thought that was a little ridiculous as a 12 seed versus Michigan safe as an 11 seed. I feel like Michigan at the very least should have been in that spot. I feel like Texas A&M is a NIT team that got screwed out of the tournament. I feel like Michigan by far had a worse record and resume than Texas A&M, who made it all the way to the Big 12 championship, which was the hardest, second hardest conference in my opinion this season. And Texas A&M picked up a few, key wins along the way that I think should have solidified them. So, yeah, I'm just not really a believer in Michigan this year. Especially with all the, the hype with Juwan Howard, all that shit that happened. I feel like a lot of that happened as a result of the frustrations of this season. And I don't think it was a tournament worthy team.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I thought if anyone other than Michigan, it should have been Indiana getting in at an at-large over a team like San Francisco coming from that weak conference. I know they had a good year in their conference wise, but like I thought Indiana should have got a normal bid instead of San Francisco, as well as the argument of Texas A&M getting in to the tournament period instead of San Francisco and Michigan. So A&M obviously had that 9-game stretch that was absolutely awful, and Buzz Williams knew that, right? And he addressed that. But there's always one or two. There's always one or two every year that you don't that you take a look at. But yeah, if Michigan gets bounced, I think that's going to just make the argument even more clear, and every A&M fan's going to roll their eyes a little further, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, another game that's on right now, Providence, South Dakota State. How'd you pick that game? I'm interested to hear.
I was flabbergasted by the line. It was -2 Providence, and I have Providence obviously winning regardless, but when you see a line so small, it makes you wonder, and it makes you, why is it only -2? And I've never made my bracket based on the lines, which I think next year I will. I didn't really do it this year, but I think it gives you a lot more insight into what Vegas thinks the matchup is because of all the analytics they run and the specific matchup, instead of just looking at, okay, this team plays in a high major, this team plays in a mid major, it should be a blowout. But when you see Vegas make the line Providence -2, it's like, okay, this game's going to be close regardless, because, you know, the Vegas isn't wrong too often. But I do have Providence covering -2. I do have them winning. I think they're still up early. But yeah, it was surprising to see it so close.
Yeah, I got South Dakota State. This is one of my main brackets that I'm going off of, because obviously I have several. One of my main brackets I'm going off, I got South Dakota State as a Sweet 16 team. I feel like they're a little bit underrated coming into the season. They're what, a 5-loss team?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, you know, at their metrics, their offense is elite. Score shooting the ball is, I hold that to a premium coming into March, because you can have great defensive teams, but it only takes one game of defensive lapse. So, right. Really made the difference. But yeah, so I mean, right now it's about as close as games I expected it to be, but I feel like you got close games like that, shooting and takeover ability. I don't think they really have a single takeover guy, and that might be their biggest downfall, right? But right. Just overall team shooting, especially since the fact that Providence is kind of withstanding their team shooting right now.
Yeah, I think Providence wins, and I can see why that'd be an upset alert. I think Providence wins strictly because of Nate Watson down low, and they have some senior guards as well, and the sixth man of the year of that conference there. So, I mean, I think they're a well-coached team with Carly as well. I know his son plays on the team, and I just didn't see that upset happening. However, if you take a round further, and whoever wins Iowa-Richmond is going to beat Providence, in my opinion. I have Iowa winning, you know, against Richmond and beating Providence in the next round anyway. But, yeah, Providence, if they can hang on today, I think they're a one-win and done team in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm not entirely, you know, keen on them going deep in the tournament. I don't think in any of the runs that I have with Providence winning this round, I think they lose the next round either to Iowa or Richmond. So, in general, what's some other first-round teams that you have on upset watch?
Yeah, no, I think the one that's even happening today is UConn-New Mexico State. New Mexico State, one, obviously they destroyed their own conference, but UConn, if they don't get the production out of RJ Cole, they struggle to find production in general. And New Mexico State's one of those teams, and I think you'll find one of those teams that will hang tough with UConn and possibly pull an upset. First round, and then the game right underneath them, Arkansas-Vermont. Vermont's my favorite mid-major team in the entire field. I watched their conference championship when they played UMBC, and the line was large for a conference championship. I believe it was like 7, 8, or 9 points, and they went out and beat them by 40. So watching, and I get it, Vermont was home and everything, but I don't know if anyone listening and watch that tournament, but Vermont's different, and Arkansas obviously rides on JD Notae. So, and as you can see, when they play Tennessee, right, if he's not scoring the ball well, no one is for that team. And then they're both fast paced, strong offense. Vermont has the player of the year in their conference at their center, who can also step out and shoot the three. I think he shot 40-something% from three as well. So I would look out for New Mexico State to keep it close with UConn. Definitely cover the +6.5 is what I have them at. I have Vermont up straight up, both in that west bracket, side of the bracket.
I think two of my favorite mid-majors, one is actually a higher seed. One is Murray State at 7, I think they were absolutely fantastic this season. Only what a 2-loss season that they had. The Racers won their tournament. They're playing San Francisco, who I think had a so-so season, but is very, you know, highly looked upon for some of their earlier wins in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to go to the. I have them in my Elite Eight. I have them beating Kentucky in the second round. That's like kind of my biggest upset in the first two rounds. And right. Chattanooga is another one. I think Chattanooga gets it done over Illinois. Like I said, I'm a fan of high powered offense during the tournament. You know, lots of guard play, high shooting, turnovers created, that type of stuff. Those are the two things that I noticed from Chattanooga in their conference tournament.
Yeah, I watched a good bit of Chattanooga this year. I was betting on them a good bit. They have that one guy that's been there for like 6 years,
yeah.
Baptiste, who hit that, obviously that shot to win their conference. I don't know. I don't know enough about them to say if they would have lost that if they were even getting in the tournament. I have Illinois winning. I think that there's a good chance of an upset there because of the seniority that they have. And I know they have that that big center, and I think it's Silva, and then they also have Malachi Flynn, and you know they're a good team. The game right above that in that South bracket, UAB Houston is a team that I thought was matched up pretty cool because you got Houston, who you know is coached on defense and hustle, and yeah. You have UAB that's run and gun and can put up 90 points like Colgate last year when it was that Colgate-Arkansas matchup. So I think if UAB can knock down shots and play a little bit of defense, you'll see that game be a little closer than what they expect as well. I believe – I don't know if they play today, but that'll be one to look at as well.
And I'm glad you mentioned Colgate because that's another team that I think has a good chance just simply because of the matchup with Wisconsin. I feel like, just like you said, it's a pace matchup where Colgate can get out and score. I really heavily favor scoring over defense when it comes to the tournament. And I know Wisconsin likes to, you know, run their little pace offense or whatever, but their defense is kind of overrated in my opinion based because of the pace of their offense. I feel like Colgate can definitely run them out, not run them out the gym, but you know what I'm saying? They can get more possessions in, they can get more scoring in, you know, guard heavy teams. I like that.
Colgate's fun. I watched them hang 100 points on Syracuse this year. They shoot the lights out the ball. And I think there's three or four white boys on that team that shoot about 35% from three.
Yeah.
So, like, for a team like Wisconsin, who's slow, methodical, brings the ball up half-court offense, and then has to go play run-and-gun defense on transition threes, that'll be another one that if they can knock down shots, they'll be in that game. But, you know, for the sake of my bracket, I took Wisconsin. But when the line comes out or when I look at it for tomorrow, you know, it's probably going to be something where I look at the over and Colgate covering.
Yeah, how do you look at some of these closer, well, I consider them closer games, like LSU and Iowa State? That's an interesting matchup to me just because I'm not really super high on either of them. Iowa State coming in as a low seed from a, you know, from a major conference, but they're coming from the best conference in basketball this season. They picked up some key wins. Well, LSU also coming from, I mean, like I said, SEC, Big 12 were, to me, the top two conferences. And they were both kind of, you know, mid with some decent wins in the middle.
Right. A great matchup again. I have Iowa State winning. And I've bet on Iowa State and LSU this year a good bit. And every time I feel like I did bet on them, I got their worst performance. There was a time where I thought Iowa State was getting extremely undervalued by Vegas. And they get blown out in that conference. And then the more I wanted, when I looked at this bracket, I was like, okay, well, they've lost me money. They didn't cover. But then I think about the competition they played down the stretch in that conference. And I think if you look at it that way, and again, it's another game I'll be interested to see the line come out from Vegas, I think you'll see it as a pretty close line. And it won't really even be considered an upset, in my opinion, if Iowa State wins, because obviously the SEC didn't compare to Iowa State's conference, and LSU, without Xavier Pinson at time, looked awful. So we'll see. But I have Iowa State winning in my bracket. Depending what the line is, it might be a money line play as well.
See, I'm betting. See, when it comes to this, I typically bet on not bet, but you know, I'm picking based on the best player on the court. And I feel like Isaiah Brockington is really the only one that I think has, like I said before, takeover ability. I saw him do it a few times for Iowa State this season. You know, he's averaging like 17, 18 a game. He's good for getting 10 of that in a row during the middle of the second half during the run. I don't really think LSU has any such type player that can be relied on to go get I need it bucket. So that's kind of what I'm taking there. As far as the upset goes, it's the line right now is LSU -4. Which I think is a little bit bigger than what I expect. I expect it to be closer than that. This is one that I think can come down to the last possession. Just kind of looking at one that are kind of kept me up at night picking them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think close game. And just looking at the slate, games like that, if you go into the East, I think that's where you're going to see the most amount of upsets first round.
Yeah.
I see. So when Indiana played the play-in game against Wyoming, I had Indiana slated to win against Wyoming and then beat St. Mary's. But I also had even if Wyoming won, I would have picked them to take on St. Mary's. And it's the conference conversation again, but I think Indiana's good. Trace Jackson Davis is good. I don't know much about St. Mary's, so I don't want to shit on them too much and say they don't have a big man that can hang with Trace Jackson Davis. But, you know, Indiana as a 12 seed is a 5 seed's worst nightmare. And it's the same thing in that same side of the bracket with Texas and Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Texas got fucked by having to play Virginia Tech
in the literally first round. The worst matchup in the field for them.
Agreed. Like,
they're already undersized, Texas is. So to get put with a team that's hot, coming in off of a conference championship that they needed to get in. So they're coming in hot. They're coming in led by really a big man who's, I don't know, he's kind of like an undersized 4. But Keve Aluma, I watched a lot of him. He's consistent as hell. He's going to tear them up inside. I think he's bigger than everyone on Texas's team. I think Texas is – everyone is 6'9 and under.
Yeah, other than Timmy Allen.
Yeah. So then we got Virginia Tech literally shooting the lights out, the best, like, top 10 shooting teams in the country. Texas is not. And they hold the ball. They hold the ball slow pace, and they shoot well. And I see potential to dominate them inside. That's a little like the worst on all three fronts. They're just going to have to create a whole bunch of turnovers to get out in transition because Virginia Tech is not super athletic. They can't run. That's Texas's really only advantages over them if they can get that. But if you got like when Hunter Couture was playing Duke, you know, dropping 31, hitting threes from all angles, hitting, you know, the cuts inside at the rim. I mean, when you got guys like that shooting, there's nothing you can do. Sean Padula has been known to have a few games. Darius Maddox has been known to have, you know, a few big shot moments. Obviously, the big shot over Clemson. They just have too many moving parts that I think Texas can't handle. And I have Virginia Tech winning in, I think, every bracket.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. I wouldn't be surprised again if it's one of those matchups where, again, the line could be out right now. I don't know if the game's tomorrow. I spent too much time on the lines today for all of them, but Virginia Tech should probably be favored if you're being honest. And if they're not, it's a money line pick. So I like Virginia Tech. If Aluma can play well and hold his own with Timmy Allen, then all it takes now is Virginia Tech to shoot the ball half as well as they have been over this last 7-game stretch, and they beat Texas. If they don't shoot the 3-ball well and it turns into an Aluma versus Timmy Allen, now you got a closer game. So I think it comes down to that.
I mean, right now, for a 6-11 game, it's about as close as it gets. It's Texas -1 line.
it's a pick 'em. You know, it's just like it reminds me of the Providence spread. It was -2, and that's a 13-4, I think, right? So, I mean, it's just Vegas knows something. Vegas knows it's going to be close. I see Providence pulling away a little bit at the end of the half. They're up 8. But, no, I think Texas and Virginia Tech will have one hell of a matchup. But, again, when you look ahead of that, they have to play Purdue most likely. I don't think there's any chance Purdue falls against Yale. And now that creates a whole different matchup for either of those teams. So that I'm high on Purdue. I know you're a Virginia Tech guy, but I think Purdue makes a nice little run.
Oh yeah, I've just been watching a lot of the ACC period, but you know I'm a Duke in basketball, you know that, man.
Yeah,
but yeah, I watch Virginia Tech too. Yeah. Been kind of keeping up with them. In the first round, I have Davidson beating Michigan State. That's another one that I because Davidson comes in. Kind of on this, like, I'm kind of real consistent with this, you know. If I see high-powered offense, you know, high-efficient offense, not high-powered offense, but high-efficiency offense, low turnovers, the defense can kind of be geared or whatever because it's March. I'm not saying defense doesn't win championships, but the best defensive teams in the country get the light shout-out on them, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at with Davidson and Michigan State, but also Michigan State just has the clear athletic, you know, big dog advantage. So I feel like that's one where, you know, if it gets into a more physical game, Michigan State, you know, that line is only, you know, Michigan State -1. So
I watched Davidson single-handedly lose their conference championship.
Right.
And I've watched Michigan State all year long with no ability to win against a team better than them or cover against a team better than them. So I can't stand either of them because of the money they've lost in me personally.
Yeah.
But I watched enough of Davidson not being able to shoot the ball well with conference championship type defense to where I think they're going to get absolutely stunned against Michigan State defense. And that just comes from a size and talent and athleticism perspective. Right. So I think Michigan State wins. I think the under is the play 100% because they can't shoot. They can't score. Gabe Brown's their best scorer at like 13 points a game. And you have Davidson who, if they can't shoot threes, they can't score down low. I know their second leading scorer is that one Asian kid who, from watching him in that game, only shot threes. And whoever he gets matched up against is going to be more athletic than him. So I think the under is 100,000% to play in that game. I don't care if they make it 130. I'm taking the under. And I think Michigan State wins purely because Davidson won't be able to get any offense going.
Yeah, Davidson is one of those teams that I feel like they're hot when they're hot. But just like you said, I mean, I think it speaks volumes that they actually made it as a 10 seed. As an at-large bid, you know, losing their conference championship game. So big vote of confidence, I think, to them as an at-large bid from a mid-major, you know. Michigan State has been very up and down all over the place throughout the season. The Big Ten, it's not that good, in my opinion. So that really was a big hit for my confidence in them. But, you know, like I said – we'll see. Like, this is one of those where, like you said, the athleticism might end up being too big of a gap to overcome because Davidson has struggled against teams slightly more athletic than them, slightly. And this is a team that has a major advantage over them. But I just believe in my heart Michigan State has it in them to drop one.
Yeah. No, I think you're –
because I actually think Davidson has a chance if they win to beat Duke in the second round. It's a lot of talk about that. I don't have them picked for that, but it's a matchup that I'm kind of dreading as a Duke fan. I know Duke is, as a physical team, Duke is probably like top 5 or 6 in the country. It's from a physical perspective, as far as just having the athletes, right? But then again, like I said, what's Duke's downfall usually comes down to shooting, especially late in games, losing leads late in games because of foul trouble and poor defense stemming from that. small rotations. Davidson is a deeper team. You know what I'm saying? They can throw more bodies at you. That's just one of the things that I've been looking at with them. And even though I don't think they're necessarily a better team, that's like a March Madness recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
I mean, that's Duke every year, right? There's always always one that they should win. I have Duke playing Gonzaga, right? I have them going all the way to the Elite Eight against Gonzaga. And I think both of their paths are going to get easier because you're going to see upsets. I think you're going to see Vermont upset Arkansas, so Arkansas won't be there. I think you're going to see Vermont. If UConn beats New Mexico State, who knows if UConn even gets out of New Mexico State. And then it's just going to make their path easier because those runs will obviously wear out after the Sweet 16. But I have Duke, Gonzaga, and I hate Gonzaga most years. I think they're the most overrated team in the country because they're just in their conference. They shit on their conference. But watching them this year, it was fun. Man, Chet Holmgren and Tip, they're fun to watch. They're well-coached, well-disciplined on defense. I almost took Duke to beat them because I do like Duke. I don't get that clutch factor from, what is it, Banchero?
Absolutely not.
I watch him and I think he's the laziest piece of shit on the court every time I watch. I just think he's so nonchalant and he could take over games with someone 6 inches shorter than guarding him and he just doesn't. And then they're relying on Roach to hit threes and Wendell Moore to hit threes and Joey Baker, right? So I don't know. I wanted to, but I didn't. And I actually have Gonzaga winning the whole thing this year. So
my thing with that is I think either Gonzaga or Duke wins. Whoever wins that matchup wins the championship. Unless, like, we get a team like that's they're so spent because a team that I think has with an underratedly easy path to the Final Four, I think, is Arizona. Arizona is the other one I have, like, have an outside, shot at winning. It's not Gonzaga or Duke. Just because I feel like Gonzaga or Duke, when they get to the Final Four and then to the championship, they'll be so spent from playing each other and then following that up with the Final Four matchup that get to the championship game, it's like, all right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm having the tank. Because I feel like that Final Four, it's going to be Gonzaga and Duke, and then I basically have either UCLA. To me, it's either UCLA or it's Purdue coming out of there.
The Bruins.
I'm a fan of Baylor, but I really was watching UCLA late, and they almost pulled off their conference championship. I believed in them earlier in the season. They hit a little rough spot. Where they lost a few games in the middle of the season, like January. But I feel like they, coming off last year's run, they have a little bit of experience in that regard. Baylor returned a few players from that championship team, but I feel like, they're kind of there. Like, I don't really know how to feel about Baylor because they did play in one of the toughest conferences this year, but I never really felt as if they were the best team in the country at any point of the season, even though they stood apart, really atop one of their best conferences in the nation.
Yeah, I think Baylor looked good. I don't think they looked great, like you're saying, like as a true number one, but I don't think anyone looked good as a true number one this year. I think this was the first year watching that you couldn't say that this one team, at one point I thought it was Duke. I thought it should have been Duke, but then it just wasn't. Right. And then at one point, I thought it was Villanova, and it wasn't. And then even Tennessee for a little bit. And watching them here in Tampa in the SEC Championship, watching them run through. So when you get down to that South bracket, I know – yeah, Arizona the same way. I thought they were a number one at one point, and then obviously they had that tough spell. So I think, in my opinion, whoever wins Tennessee against Villanova, if both of them get there, beats Arizona. But mm-hmm. then – if Arizona gets there, because I think Arizona, for playing in that conference, having to play possibly in Illinois and then either Tennessee or Villanova, that's a tough task for any team to say you're going to win both of those in a row.
Yeah.
So I think Arizona just has a tough path. I know you thought they had a little bit of an easier path. I think they have the toughest path past the Sweet 16 if nobody gets upset, because Purdue, Kentucky could be there too. I don't know. You know, it's tough for them, I think.
So my path for them is it's either Seton Hall or TCU first round going into round two. Both of those teams are not good offensively. Seton Hall is a rebounding machine. Their guards rebound like hell. TCU has one of the better defenses, but like I said, I don't really value high-level defense in the tournament when you can't score.
TCU beats Seton Hall. TCU definitely beats Seton Hall.
So I got, you know, it's either one of them. I actually kind of like am split on that Seton Hall TCU game, just like I said, because neither of them really are strong offensively. And putting the ball in the bucket is a premium thing. But like I said, Seton Hall is good at stealing possessions with, you know, offensive rebounds. So I don't know. And then from there, you know, I got either Chattanooga or Houston that they're going to play. Houston is a team that I feel like is, they were there last year, but, and they returned a lot of that experience, but I just don't feel like last year was real.
And they're hurt. Houston's hurt, too.
They're not even coming in, you know, at their strongest. So they're going to play probably Houston. I think they get through them, get through Houston and play Tennessee or Villanova. That's what I have in that matchup. Yeah, Tennessee is hot right now, and Tennessee did look like they earlier in the season they might have been around that, you know, 2-seed line. And they come in as a 3. I think that's very unfortunate because I think that means they run into Arizona, who I think is a true 1-seed. There's only like 3 teams I think are a true 1-seed, and I think Arizona's one of them. And I think they're straight up a better team. And then they're either going to play Kansas or Auburn at that point. And I think Arizona's better than both of them. If they end up with, especially if they end up with Kansas, then they're definitely better than Kansas. Auburn is the one that I think would give them some trouble just because Auburn has the best player possibly in this tournament, Jabari Smith. And that would scare me more than anything if they ended up playing Auburn. But I think Kansas might get them out.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge believer in Kansas making it past the Elite Eight. So
I agree. I have Auburn beating Kansas.
You so just that puts them in a championship game for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I have Kansas beating, or I have Auburn beating Kansas as well. I mean, if you're taking it a step further with Arizona, now you're saying if Illinois doesn't get upset, you have them beating Illinois. Then you have to have them beating Tennessee or Villanova. And then after that, you have to have them beating Auburn or Kansas. So it's just those 3-game stretches for a team from the Pac-12, in my opinion, is borderline impossible.
I think Arizona separates themselves from the Pac-12. I think Arizona and UCLA both separate themselves from the Pac-12 as a whole. I think they might be the only Pac-12 teams that I have winning.
Like, yeah.
Because I know I have Miami over USC.
Me too. Yep.
I can't think of another Pac-12 team that I have picked.
No, I think that's it. I mean, obviously, Oregon shit the bed this year, so.
Yeah, so that's it, really. But I think UCLA, you know, and Arizona stand apart from the rest of the Pac-12. I don't think they should be judged necessarily by their conference. They've shown, especially early in the season and out of conference play, they were elite. They hung with Gonzaga. I can fuck with that. Gonzaga's kind of like my baseline here. Alabama's another team that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Maybe Gonzaga. I was big on Alabama early this season. I thought Alabama was going to be the shit. And then every single time I thought Alabama was doing something, they shit the bed.
They don't play defense. They don't play a lick of defense. If they had one more year out of John Petty, they'd be a force to reckon with. But they don't – and they lost Primo, who's obviously a stud. He's in with the Spurs, I think. But I'm surprised they were as good as they were at all this year because of all the talent that they lost. But – I had, no matter who won that 11-11 matchup between Notre Dame last night and Rutgers, I had them beating Bama in the first round.
See, that's the thing about Bama. Bama's been, they can hang with the 1-2 line teams when they really want to. I think they had the most, I think it was the most top 15 wins in the country. And then they also lost 11 games. So it's,
yeah, they score.
Sense to me. It's like they look like they could be an NIT team some nights, and then it looks like I said, they can hang with the 1-2 line teams.
All those teams that just rely on 3-point shooting.
But like that's a team. They rely on 3-point shooting, and they're not particularly good at it. That's my thing. As a team, they're shooting like 30% from three, but they shoot a lot of volume. So that's my problem with them. I don't mind teams that rely on shooting to get into the tournament, especially for early round upsets. But talking about like deep runs, you gotta at least be good at it. You can't shoot a lot. You gotta at least be good.
Tell Syracuse that for me, if you wouldn't mind.
Look, man, Syracuse gave me the run for my fucking life in the ACC tournament. And that's why I was kind of scared, per se, to play Virginia Tech, because similar team as far as, like, the shooting is concerned. You guys had, like, four premier shooters. One of them was suspended. Thank God for us.
Yeah, buddy plays, we win.
Buddy plays, y'all definitely win. And that's, like, again, that's kind of where I was going with why I'm scared of Duke playing a team like Davidson. Any team with more than three premier shooters spreads the defense out. You can't leave anybody on help, because all of Duke's defense, as much as it is considered elite, it's not really like a one-on-one lockdown person. It's a lot of help defense, a lot of rotating over traps, a lot of forcing bad passes, playing the passing lanes. But you got someone that can distribute the ball to the open person on the perimeter. We don't close out well. Paolo is not a defensive player. He's very easily picked on, especially when he is playing off ball. He doesn't close out very quickly. He gets three shot over him. He doesn't box out in the paint. He's prone to give up offensive rebounds. It's a lot of shit that I think can go wrong with a team that spreads the ball around on a perimeter. That's really how you beat Duke. And the fact that we did battle back and beat y'all during that onslaught, that kind of gave me some hope, because that's kind of what I want to see during March, because that's exactly what they're going to get, I think, from any team that really wants to beat them. They're going to play exactly like Syracuse.
Yeah, agreed. Syracuse, the one silver lining I'd say is they had six guys, right? So they're going to get tired at some point in that 40-minute run. So you don't want to play a deep team.
Right.
If you're Duke, you don't want to play a team of shooters that's deep. You can play a team of shooters with six. The second it gets the defensive-minded kids at the 7, 8, 9 spot, now it's a problem for Duke.
That's what bothers me about Davidson. Davidson is a deeper roster rotationally. So if they beat Michigan State, I feel like that could pose problems for Duke. Unless somewhere along the line Duke just decides we're one of the most, four or five physically dominant teams in the country, we're gonna act like it. Then I think the whole thing changes. Then I think Duke plays like a one seed. Like they did at points in the season, but they play kind of soft. They play like they're trying not to foul, because they know that we only have really two big men that actually play inside. Only one of them can actually consistently score. Theo John is just there to bump people around and look tough. So,
yeah, Michigan's coming back. They're down one.
Yeah, I would get that too. as much as I was talking shit about Michigan.
I'm telling you, Vegas is not wrong very often. When you put a spread at -1, it's going to be a close game.
Michigan is up now. So, up one. So, yeah, I had a lot of faith in Colorado State, honestly. But we're going to see.
I think that's a good synopsis of some upsets. Just to go over them again, my favorite game to watch tonight is Vermont Arkansas. If you want to watch a mid-major team that's just going to come out and play good fundamental basketball, it's Vermont. And Arkansas, who in my opinion is more of a run and gun offense, Jaden Note taking on 1-on-5 down the court, that's going to be a good one. I know I saw it was like 75% of bets were on Arkansas to cover. So, you know what that means for me, Vermont. What's the spread? +4.5. Yep, I have that. But just to run through them, if you want, I can run through all the bets that I have for today's slate.
Yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah, so we got Michigan to cover, Providence -2. Norfolk +20.5. I just think it's too much. Too many points for Baylor to cover. Hopefully they just come out. And the same thing with Longwood. I have them +18. Iowa to cover -10. I think they've been hot, and I think they come out firing again. I think Gonzaga covers -23. I think North Carolina covers against Marquette. New Mexico, I think, covers, possibly wins against UConn. I think Kentucky covers. That was the one I just wasn't big on. I know Kentucky doesn't cover big spreads, and when they can't shoot, they are abysmal to watch sometimes.
Shout out Oscar Sheepway, though.
Yeah, absolute baller down low. But because that Grady kid, he hasn't been shooting the ball great at all. And other than him, it's that Sims. So I mean, it's tough. And Ty isn't a great 3-point shooter. You know, gets his points. Yeah. Indiana, I think, wins money line. Creighton, I think, hangs around. Vermont hangs around, +4.5. I have Murray State as my favorite bet of the night to cover -2. Akron +14, and then Kansas to cover -21.5. So we'll see what happens on day, I guess, technically 3 of March Madness betting.
Yeah. So just real quick, just tell, who you got in your Sweet 16? Who you think makes it out of this weekend?
Who do I have in my Sweet 16?
Yeah, just who's making out of this first weekend?
So in my Sweet 16, I have Gonzaga playing Vermont, because I think Vermont goes on a little run. I'm just high on them. I got Texas Tech and Duke playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
I got Baylor and UCLA playing each other. I got Purdue and Kentucky, Arizona, Illinois, Tennessee, Villanova, Kansas and Iowa, and Wisconsin and Auburn.
Okay. So I got Gonzaga. I got Arkansas in there, but I definitely hear your upset prediction. I got Texas Tech, Duke, got Baylor, UCLA, Purdue, Murray State, Arizona, Houston, Tennessee, Villanova, Kansas, South Dakota State, Iowa State, and Auburn.
Kansas, South Dakota State. They don't make it out the first round, my boy.
Dude, South Dakota State, I was so high on them, man. I feel like they got a run in them, man. I feel like they're one of those teams. High power offense. I feel like if they got a 5-point game, they kind of close the gap a little bit. They can pull it out, man. Offense again. I mean, Iowa's got one of the best offenses in the country, too, which is who I have them play in the second round, but I don't know. Take a chance on some of these high-powered offenses, mid-major teams. I mean, this team's won, 30 games? 30,
yeah. 30 and 5.
I got to give them – I give them a little bit of hope.
I hear you. Well, I mean, obviously, we're going to look at our brackets in about 3 days and go, what the fuck happened? Because we always do, so.
Yeah, second chance brackets on the way.
Yeah.
Are you going to around the same time next week, are you going to be available to do this again for the 16 Elite Eight?
Yeah, for sure. I'll be betting on every single game no matter what this year, so we'll see what happens.
Turn it up, man. I'm going to get you back in here. We'll follow up on how this weekend went.
That sounds good. Let's hope it's good.
All right, my boy. Appreciate you coming on. This will be
was a great conversation, fellas.
Damn, Bam, I did not even know you were in here. When did you get here?
Dog, I was in here the whole time.
Dog, I did not even know. Because I wasn't, my screen wasn't on the pod screen. Damn, I didn't know you was in here, my boy.
It's all good. I may have said like 10 words in total. Like, y'all are talking about Michigan State, and I would be like, Sparty.
All right, well, shout out to Bam, man. He's in the conversation. I'll get you your credit in the pod info.
It's all good, man. I didn't have anything good to say. I let y'all cook. Sometimes you got to know when to shut up.
Man, tell that to some women. All right, anyway, so next week with a follow-up on the Tournament Madness. Everyone, appreciate y'all for being here. Appreciate the words and words not spoken. So, yeah, Pick Up Podcast, we out.